is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Morning and welcome to Monday, the 20th of September, 2021. You are on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. And you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And as we get the show started, let me tell you about the Real Property Tax Forgiveness Program. You still have time to save on your real property tax. Bahamian property owners can take advantage of waivers on their real property tax in one of two ways. One, bring your account to zero. Two, get a payment plan. This offer ends September 30th, 2021. For further information, email rptforgive@bahamas.bs or call 225-5778. That is a toll-free number. Again, that's 242-225-5778. This message is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. Well, good morning. Good morning. Today's show is still entitled The Day After General Election 2021, because I am still reeling from the fever pitch of activity that has taken place since Friday the 17th. What a time, what a time. I got a text here that says, who that singing, let me show you a vibe. That is Judah the Lion. Judah the Lion is a member of the QC Comet family. He is superb display. He is just a super talented Bahamian musician and performer. You hear that song by him, Let Me Show You a Vibe. I chose it specifically, it's inspirational. That is drive me in the morning, better than my driver. It wakes me up. It makes me think about what I could do to push my country forward. So I just love that song. Judah Lion is a member of the QC Comet family. Big up, Judah. And at the same time, I want to share condolences with the family of Ms. Sue Colby and the QC Comet family. Ms. Colby was one of my teachers in primary school. And I would see her every week, every other week in the food store and give her a hail. It ain't nothing like hailing your teachers now, you're big people, right? And what a joy to see them smile and say, hey, I see you. I see you out there. Anyway, condolences to the QC family and to the family of Ms. Sue Colby. See that song by Judah the Lion? That is an example of the creative talent we have moving through this country. So I came here this morning to have a conversation about, you know, let's do, as the Guardian put it, an autopsy, an analysis of what happened in general election 2021 and what we need to look forward to. But before we do that, I want to read this short poem that was written by Davina Rutherford on the eve of the election. I thought it was just so, it's worthy of being read. And it starts like this. 'Twas the day before election, and all kind of people on the road, trying to get to the liquor store before it closed. We can't stay out late, 'cause curfew at 9, and people shouting, minutes gotta go, 'cause only children have bedtime. The tent's done up, and the clothes lay out on the bed, and some people shouting they red, and they ain't scared. Then people out here ready to ride the wave. Even Khalid got brave, posts up on his page. For some, the plane land. For some, money was in the shirt. For some, no one came to their door, and they was big, big hood. I only here for laughs, because if you don't, you could cry. But when the woman post-minister wasn't a medical doctor, I thought I was gonna die. The last few weeks have been fun. Tight people ready to explode this time. This time, all I want to know is, who moving them sign from the side of the road? By this time tomorrow, it might still be too close to say, but be safe while voting and have a happy election day. That piece is by Davina Rutherford. And I wanted to read that today as an example of the creativity, the talent, the raw kinetic, what is it, potential energy sitting in the lives of ordinary people and Bahamians in this town. What a fabulous, hilarious piece of political satire. It hit all the major points without beating up Minnis too bad, because he's still one of us. I wanted to share it because I wanted us to think about what it would look like if we let creativity and cultural imagination drive this country. I want us to think about what it would look like if we let family island imagination and determination drive this country. I heard about a man named Kai Mills, right? But this boy in Kai Mills is a one-man local government. And the reason I call his name today is because I think Kai Mills is an independent candidate who's going to get his deposit back. And I think that's a clear indicator of the impact that this independent candidate in the Family Islands has made on his community. And I say, if a Family Island independent candidate could get their deposit back in the time of the monoliths of the giants, then I ask this question. What would happen if we let Family Island determination drive this country, as opposed to leaving the development, the vision building, the course charting to the political class alone, to politicians and those that support them singularly? If we leave this job, this task to them, where would we be? I want to say good morning to Mr. Paul Bevins, and I want to say good morning to Mr. and Mrs. Alvin Ambrister. I want to say good morning to a friend whose name I won't share this morning, who put something in my head yesterday. They went to the funeral of an ordinary Bahamian, Mrs. Susanna Henderson Pratt, who passed away recently. And my friend was overwhelmed by the experience. In particular, she felt that she had been like hit with a wealth of knowledge and information about this woman It was so impactful to her personally. But in that moment, she's realizing that she's only had access to this information on the passing of this great person, and what wouldn't ever have the opportunity to sit with them and interrogate them personally about what it is that they learn. And I pointed out to her that, you know, pass away and all of the work that they've done to build this country and to build the lives of other people pass away because we are only focused on the political imagination and the political class and the political voice. And we don't seem to be able to figure out how to ensure that the cultural and creative voice, that the academic voice, now I don't mean academia, I mean the desire to learn, curiosity for curiosity's sake, the family island imagination, right? That we're not letting those things, how do we bring those things to the table? How do we ensure that they also sit equally and equitably with the political imagination? And how do we use all of these things together to drive the country forward? I want to leave that with you guys as we go into the show and dissecting what has happened over the last few days and weeks. But I wanted to leave you guys with that because the work has just begun. Bahamians to be winners in this election cycle, in this process of governance over the next 5 years, Bahamians have to begin to do the work. We can no longer abdicate the work to the political class because then you abdicate your power to the political class as well. Remember, leave that there. Let's go to the phone line, Kermit. See, we got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Good morning, caller.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Dwarf.
How are you?
Not bad. You know that poem you read, right?
Yes, sir.
About we not we children. We got to get rid of menace because we ain't children. We don't need no bad time, right?
Uh huh.
But it says, like, we still children because bad time is 12 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah. It ain't gone far.
Right, yeah, it's 12 o'clock, so we still children. So, all right, maybe you got to get rid of David. but you know, we got to agitate for our civil rights. Not civil rights, but our human rights. You see?
Mm-hmm.
We need to give the government a mandate. Don't? You know, their mandate is really not their mandate to have a voice. The voice belongs to those who manipulate the media, those who control the media, both the social media, you know,
mm-hmm.
and the mainstream media. Because you know, the PLP, they used social media, you know, to run the election, the virtual thing. You see, every morning, Mitchell,
mm-hmm.
you know, the chairman, he does this report every morning. He's doing a report, but he's not taking any answers, no questions. You see, they say, well, they're going to listen to the voice of the people, but it seems like they only want us to listen to them.
Well, listen, I'm going to say this is something that I saw in the audition, right? And I called the time leading up to the election. The time in between one election and another is the audition period. And I saw that clearly in the audition period. That and the same thing leading up to the 2017 election when the FNM party making promises about providing governance in accountability, honesty, and transparency. Even before the election, I questioned it because in opposition, they weren't behaving in that way. In fact, in opposition, they did nothing to suggest that they even understood what governance in accountability, honesty, and transparency to deliver it, right? And so fast forward to now 2021, and we look at day two, you know, the first working day, of the administration. And already from the audition, I can see that they're going to have difficulty living up to some of the promises that they've made or they've allowed us to presume that they're making. I was particularly concerned about the movement from the 16th to the 17th to the 18th. A notice or a story from Our News indicating that the prime minister had been sworn in on the Friday, that media had not been notified. And when they found out, they weren't allowed to cover the event. Now, that troubled me for a couple of reasons. The first is, if you were paying attention, one of the reasons that people were disgruntled with the FNM administration they just got rid of is because their inability to deliver on this promise of governance and transparency, accountability, and honesty. Right? I don't know if swearing in the PM without any notice, no media, or allowing them to attend is a good look. But secondly, while we understand the need to get going on day one, everybody appreciates that. Everybody appreciates that, right? I would have expected before the relaxation of the curfew and before the lifting of a number of other provisions that I still have not yet seen clearly enunciated. I think I have seen the COVID order that indicates the numbers of provisions that are being repealed, but not a clear indication in layman's terms of what restrictions no longer exist, right? I would have expected my prime minister to have a national address explaining to the public why the shift in policy, why the change, why the rapid change in restrictions. But, and hear me out, I think it's important for the PM to indicate to the Bahamian people what is expected of them now that the curfew has been relaxed and what they can expect from other state actors like police, like the defense force, right? The business community, it should have been clear they are allowed to do and what the public should expect from them. For instance, just because the curfew has been relaxed to 12 doesn't mean that liquor stores are going to be allowed to stay open till 11 or till 10 or till 9 even. But I thought that a better strategy would have been to have a national address and explain to the people the reasoning why you are changing the restrictions and what your expectations are from us. This is a good look. This is a good strategic move. It makes people feel involved. Further, it allows you to get past the part where you get the job on day one and act like you got a mandate from the people to do whatever. You see, we got to look at the numbers. We got to look at the voter turnout before any government could get up and say, well, the people have voted us in and they have given us the moral authority to act on their behalf. It can't quite work like that. But first of all, it doesn't quite work like that. And certainly it can't work like that or be interpreted to work like that with such a low voter turnout. I can press a pause right there. Let's get to the calls. Caller, you're on the clock. Caller, you still there? I'm sorry, caller, you're on the clock.
A pleasure. Good morning, Miss Green.
Good morning. How are you?
Sparky, yes. And good morning to your guests and the Bahamian people. You know, last week after the general election, somebody came to me. They said, you know, Sparky, the Bahamian people are so ungrateful, they could start complaining within the next 4 to 5 months. I said, look here, if you know my people, they complaining now. They ain't gonna give it no 4 or 5 months. The last time we had the election, the incoming government went on vacation right away.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't even completed the swearing-in ceremonies yet for the ministers of government to call ourselves having a new government yet. We have a prime minister, a deputy prime minister, we don't have an attorney general yet. I would say give it time. What I would also like to say is I would like to congratulate my Bahamian people. Although we had a low turnout, there's some things that really surprised me, and it surprised me to see that we were always talking about these third parties, independence, and this and that and the next. But what was amazing to me, the amount of young people that entered politics for their first time and was elected to the House of Assembly. That's almost like having a new, a youthful bunch of people. I would also like my new member for Garden Hills, Mr. Mario Boleg, the hard-working people of Garden Hills that issued him in, wish him the best of luck, whether he gets a post or whatever else it is. Mm-hmm. And I would just wish that we'll take time out to just wish the Bahamian people a better, successful move to a better day, a new day.
Thank you.
Please, let's stop bringing ourselves down and looking up to foreigners to bring us up. This is the best opportunity right now. We have a new prime minister after looking after four prime ministers before him.
Thank you, Sparky. Thank you very much. I appreciate that support. I appreciate what you're saying, you know, give them time. But I late, you late, actually, because I've been critiquing them from that woman used the N-word at that convention. I've been critiquing them from 2012. I've been critiquing them from 2003. You know, it ain't like they like the COI who just pop up on the scene. So you're a little late on that. I also want to say congratulations to members of the COI. I'm going to get to that in a little bit. Caller, you on the clock.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm just going to say, air. It's Bettina Rutherford.
Absolutely. You're welcome. Thank you for sharing it with us and keep putting pen to paper.
Yes, ma'am, will do.
Absolutely. We need political satire. We just need to raise the level of critique. And jokes don't mean that it's low-level critique, you know. This is a very smart way to share how you're feeling with others, and it's a very helpful way because it allows people to delve into some heavy things without being weighed down by the negative feelings attached to them. So thank you very much, Ms. Rutherford.
You're welcome. You have a great day.
Listen, do you have a collection of work? Is this a part of a collection? Do you write poetry? Where can we find your work?
My friends and I were just very creative, and this election season was very, like you said, it was very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So over the last few weeks, we've been just trying to find ways to lighten it up and still be informed and involved. And the night before, I was actually supposed to be packing to travel to Nassau, and I was procrastinating, and I just started to write.
Nice. Nice. Thank you so very much, Ms. Ford. Ms. Rutherford. Look for me on Facebook so you could keep sharing what you're writing with me.
Will do.
Absolutely. I got another caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning. How you doing?
And good morning to the nation. Ms. Green, that gentleman that called with all of those complaints, it's just so disencouraging to hear people just because they support another organization, whether it be, Lincoln Bean or whether it be the FNM or whatever have you. You know, come on. We just sworn in. Whether it was two persons that voted and both of them voted for the PLP, they won the government, okay? I think we should just give Mr. Davis, just how we gave the Honorable Hubert Minnis, you know, the opportunity to run the country and run it in the ground, you know.
Stop right there. It was good.
We should give
Mr. Hold on.
Minnis,
but wait, look, we were having a good time when you say we should give him an opportunity to run the country. But when you said run it in the ground, you know, we have to stop that right there. No, we can't start off like that. No, we are. First of all, Brave has already had an opportunity to run the country. He's already been a part of the machinery that was in the country. So he got that chance already. And that's why he's going to be taken to task at every turn. See, when I was in high school and primary school, one time I got an A for achievement in math. And my uncle, when he saw the report card, he fussed me. And I asked him, how could you fuss me? I got an A for achievement. And he said, looking at this effort grade. You got a C for effort. And that's why I'm fussing you. If you had tried harder, you could have got an A++. You could have beat the teacher, right? That's what we grow up with. That's what we supposed to be. Ain't no social promotion in governance. Anyway, that's my music. It's time to go to a break. Callers, hold the line. Texas, I'm coming to you right when we get back. Stay tuned to 96.9 FM Guardian Radio.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The one that don't fall to, the count depends on you. So tell Teddy, go tell the law. Calendar, since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
What happened to you?
You look like you lost your paycheck.
Man, I just realized I got scammed out of a bunch of money. They said I won this contest and just needed me to send them some money so I could collect. I mean, to expedite something. Or was it to smooth the process?
Man, you're smarter than that. Protect yourself against scams and fraud by following these tips. If you know you didn't enter a competition, you can't win. Never play to receive a cash prize. If you're being asked, you're being scammed. Check trusted internet sites for verification of information given to you. Do not give your banking details to people you don't know. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. Monitor your bank account regularly for any questionable transactions.
Get more information at GetMoneySmartBahamas.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 20th of September, 2021, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. There's so much to talk about, and I know how much we need to talk, so let's get to the phone lines. Caller, you're on the clock. I'm sorry, caller. Now, the caller, you're on the clock.
Hello.
Good morning.
Morning, how you doing?
Good, thank you. How you do?
Okay, wonderful. First of all, Mr. Davis had an opportunity to be a part of a team. Mr. Davis never had an opportunity to pick his own cabinet and to be leader.
They equals in the cabinet.
Well, I don't care whether he was in the cabinet or not, Mr. Green and Mr. Chirago Lang share the same thing.
So listen, here's what I'm saying. So
all right,
hold on. But there's a question, right?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, they supposed to be equals, right? And we know that they can decide to remove the PM if they want. It's a bold move. But here's what I'm saying. Y'all okay with the idea that the politicians are going to treat the PM as if he's a dictator? Because the Constitution don't actually provide for that, you know.
What I'm saying, Mr. Green, I like it.
Hold on,
like
one second. It's Miss Green. One second. Hold on, one second.
Uh-huh.
It's Miss Green.
Hello?
Hi, it's Miss Green.
Okay, Miss Green. Sorry, everything's cool.
Let's go.
Yes. What I am saying is that when it's convenient, people like to say in the majority, everything falls and rise with leader. A leader.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's what people like to say, but not me.
People, when it's convenient,
mm-hmm.
right? People love to say that. First of all, when I look at Joe Biden, who's the deputy to Obama, mm-hmm. when I look at he has his own, he picks his own, and in the United States, they give them 100 days for their transition. But in the Caribbean, especially in this country, we want in another day. In another second.
Let me tell you why.
I'm saying to you, the United States give their president, the incoming president, 100 days to do his transition. 100 days.
Mm-hmm.
But we over here, I don't know where it happened in the Caribbean, we want the incoming PM don't even have time to pick his cabinet yet.
But you know he should have had the cabinet picked long time.
No, what I'm saying to you, even though he shut off,
yeah.
the United States gave 100 days transition.
Yeah.
And I don't think, I think probably that's the level of maturity. And another point I want to make.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Davis set his blueprint along with local economists.
Uh-huh.
Had nothing to do with Mr. Christie, because he's leader now, not deputy. He's a leader. This is his time. All right? So I don't understand, and I will stay with my same position,
mm-hmm.
that every leader has his own vision. Even if you was chairman of a board and president and you are your deputy to with you and your deputy
yes,
rise
okay.
to the leadership of a board.
Sorry, ma'am.
He has a different vision.
Ma'am.
His.
Thank you, ma'am. I got to go. You hear, the calls are dropping in the background. We got to go. But I really appreciate the point that you were making. I don't agree with it, mind you, but I appreciate it. Caller, you're on the clock.
I use the phone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
I listened to your argument in case of Mr. Davis.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the deputy prime minister in our system,
mm-hmm.
first off, there's no such thing as a deputy prime minister.
I know. Yep.
That's something the prime minister.
That's something politicians created to pass favor.
Okay, fine. But the prime minister can appoint and disappoint.
Uh-huh.
That's why, although the Constitution says he's first among equals, yes, he is first among equals, but he's the boss. He's the boss. He is the only person who, because you serve at the wishes of the prime minister when you become a cabinet minister.
Listen, I can be honest with you. Let me tell you all how this first among equals thing technically supposed to work, right?
Yeah.
That's how it's supposed to work. It's like an egalitarian structure. We all have equal responsibility and power in decision-making. It's supposed
right.
to be like a consensus. No decision could be made until we come to consensus. But if the decision leads to ruination, if the decision leads to devastation or destruction, then the boy who in charge got to take the hit and hope that his colleagues also fall on their swords with him or her. That's how that's supposed to work.
I don't know it to work like that in any place. Because if we just use our past experience, just reason past, the cabinet, the fellas sitting around the cabinet table had no authority. Because if minutes wanted, that's it, and nobody can do nothing about it.
No, I don't believe that, because we have an example in our recent past, even though it's on the opposition side, where a sitting, constitutionally recognized leader of the opposition was removed by members of his party in the House, right? By other members of the House in his party. And so it doesn't sit with me. I can't leave it just to the prime minister is the most powerful. Now, you could tell me that that's a party politic or convention that's been imported into governance and we haven't challenged it sufficiently, or that the politicians don't recognize the power that they have, or you could even tell me they're more beholden to party than to constitution.
I don't agree with that, because the party comes completely different from the governance.
I agree with you until
that's our problem.
I agreed with you until I saw the office of the I agree with you until I see this position called deputy prime minister that was not created by the constitution.
Right. Right. But the point is, this was happening since 1967.
I know. Okay.
It's an accepted. Accepted practice.
It's not an accepted practice. Let me tell you why.
And every other because government you came by.
Hold
and
on. But here's the point. So what if every other government came by and?
So that
and,
it means it's an accepted practice.
Accepted by whom? By politicians or by the Constitution?
By everybody else who came by.
But hold on. So I wasn't alive in 1966.
No, I know that.
Okay. I wasn't alive in 1973.
I know that too.
I wasn't allowed to talk to adults in 1986, right? I only was able to vote. I wasn't able to vote until the 1997 election.
Right.
So does it mean because I didn't say anything about it from its inception till now that I accepted it? You see what I'm saying?
Well, you know, even in what you know the law, a practice becomes accepted as law.
Well, but I still could challenge it. I got to go. I got plenty callers and I got plenty texts, but I really appreciate...
I appreciate your show. I could listen to you every day. First time I'm calling in. But I just thought that you need to understand, Brave Davis, you will come in the next year to find that he would be the greatest prime minister this country's ever had.
Listen, this is what people are telling me.
Yeah, don't accept what I'm telling you. I want you to sit there, wait. And watch.
Well, listen, I can sit and watch, but I ain't waiting. Plenty stoking going on. Thank you.
Time move matches on, so as long as you're in a week.
I got to go.
All right.
Thank you. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hi, morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I am good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Hold on. I'm doing fine, thank you. I just wanted to contribute and say to you that Mr. Davis was appointed Prime Minister-elect on Thursday evening. On Friday, Mr. Davis returned to country, right? Immediately Friday evening, realizing the urgency of business in the country, Mr. Davis was sworn in.
Cool, that's good. Antoine, let me ask you a question. Pause. Let me ask you a question. Should formal members of the party have access or privy to information like that ordinary Bahamians don't have access to, or even the media don't have access to? I feel a way, not about the speed with which the ceremony was organized and orchestrated, right, and pulled off, but that the media was not notified and allowed to cover the event. But that's one thing. I feel a way that people are privileged just by membership in a party over membership in mechanisms or institutions in the country like the media. And what does that speak? What does that say for the next 5 years? I want you to answer the specific question. What does that say for governance over the next 5 years?
I can appreciate your specific question, Aaron. And what I would say to you is this. First and foremost, in a private ceremony at the Governor General's office, East Bay 3, they don't permit for me.
Pause right there. You could cut it right there. Cut it in any way,
shape, or form.
Antoine, I asked the producer to cut you right there. And I can tell you why. Because somehow my brain is freeze out when you tell me that you swearing in my prime minister in my governor general's office, and somehow there's no obligation for them to inform me or tell me, like somehow it's something among them. That just made my brain trip just now, and I had to cut you. Sorry. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You not there? Are you there,
am
caller?
I on?
Good morning.
Am I on?
Yes.
Well, Carly, this is Doc, you know, it's along with you, Aaron, Green Eye.
No, I practice obey with these green eyes. Don't be spreading that, Bremen.
Pretty blue eyes, then. But anyhow, what I want to say, right, listening to all of the callers, what people doesn't realize that even the baby to the breast are responsible for tax being paid for it. Mm-hmm. So, when that baby are able to spend money, he or she gonna spend money, even if it's to buy candy. That baby also paying tax.
Yeah.
So what am I saying? We never get a time out from paying tax. Even when we die, tax still gonna be
absolutely
paid pertaining to us being buried and stuff like that. So we don't need to hear about give time because we're not having any time. Our money's still going out of our pocket.
Thank you, Bremen. Thank you. I got to go. Callers, I got to get, I know I see you there holding, but I got to get to these texts. And as you can see, my producer's telling me I got to get to a break. So stay tuned to 96.9 Guardian Radio, and we will be right back on the clock.
Here we go. J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always. You're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance. Peace of mind.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. See one for your family line. You better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The rock, the 242. The count depends on you. So tell T to go tell below. Knock it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
What happened to you?
You look like you lost your paycheck.
Man, I just realized I got scammed out of a bunch of money. They said I won this contest and just needed me to send them some money so I could collect. I mean, to expedite something. Or was it to smooth the process?
Man, you're smarter than that. Protect yourself against scams and fraud by following these tips. If you know you didn't enter a competition, you can't win. Never play to receive a cash prize. If you're being asked, you're being scammed. Check trusted internet sites for verification of information given to you. Do not give your banking details to people you don't know. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. Monitor your bank account regularly for any questionable transactions.
Get more information at MoneySmartBahamas.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green. I got a bunch of texts to read through. I want you guys to know I got 5 pages of notes today that I have not really touched on, but 1.5. But it's so important for us to talk. So let's get to these texts. Morning, Erin. Thanks for sharing the beautiful creative talents of our young people. Most time, the negative are highlighted, but I love that poem and song. Great job. Listen, I think it was the 2012 election. Before that, the 2002 election, I did a poetry series. I did an epic poem on the PLP administration that won. Whatever administration it was when Alison Maynard Gibson was the attorney general. And that year, I had had a bumper crop of mangoes. I mean, my tree produced must be 400 mangoes. So I made a menu, a mango-based menu, and I paired a dish with an MP. And Allison made, anyway, hers was a dessert. It was iced mango balls. And I'm just saying, ain't nobody have the tenacity that that woman have and she bring to governance. Only maybe Ingram. But Ingram, I sure Ingram scared to test Allison Maynard Gibson. I sure. If I pick in anybody in a game of parking, I pick in Allison Maynard Gibson. Another text, Erin, what voter percentage did Mr. Kai Mills get in the Family Islands? I missed that one. I could tell you he got 719 of the votes. I was trying to do a calculation, but I got distracted with my own thoughts. Cornish got 1,344, Curry got 31, Henfield got 1,085, and Kathleen Noel Seymour got 7. Kai got 719. The tally sheets, the press release from the Parliamentary Registration Department are in today's Guardian, and you can pick that up today. Another text, correction. Kai Mills, who polled 719 votes, was the Coalition of Independence candidate for North Abaco. Now, hold on. I didn't see Kai Mills on their official candidate slate. Maybe what you're telling me is that he was endorsed as a candidate by the COI, right? But I didn't think that anyway, the COI would be a lucky team of people to have him on it. And I want to say good morning to Miss Shanice Miller. the COI St. Anne's candidate. And I think, like I said, Shanice polled, I was trying to find a number, over 200 votes. That is a stellar showing. And I want to say congratulations to you and your team. I got a text here that says, will the PLP victimize? Let's start here. Parties don't victimize. People victimize. So ask yourself, will Bahamians be victimizing other Bahamians this lap? Another text, hi, Aaron. We do poorly in giving statistics and do not even care to analyze them. There are islands where people contract high numbers of cancers, but I'm not aware of any studies. There were people who did not vote or spoil their ballots during the last two elections, but no statistics were analyzed. As long as we have a winner in elections, we sadly ignore the other citizen voices. We seem not to want to see the true picture as long as our party wins. I am going to do an autopsy. I'm going to take a look at the numbers. Today is the first chance I've had to look at any official numbers. There hasn't been a posting of the spoiled ballot count, but I think with an estimation, an early estimation of 38 to 42% voter turnout, to now seeing a 68% voter turnout, and looking at how many people we can presume decided to protest by not showing up at all, I think it is absolutely important that we have a discussion about the spoiled ballots. They have to count them. It's not like they can't count them or they don't have to. They have to count them, and they should give us those numbers, and we should have a conversation about it. Another text here. I really want to try to get through these texts. Oh, boy. I thought I heard Dr. Darville giving reasons for extending the curfew. I thought he was sincere and logical, Ms. Green. Lockdowns did not and will not stop COVID. They know this just like the vaccine. Can't stop infections. If they didn't warp speed and did a real timely study, they would have done so and stop lying and moving the goalposts. We do need clearer communications about these health policies. Another text. Aaron, what are your thoughts about playing funky Nassau for the installation of a new prime minister? I don't want y'all to think that y'all could use that song today, a denigrating song. Without the presumptions of position, Dr. Michael Darville did speak as to the reasoning why they pushed back the emergency orders, and I sure all of the concerns that you have so eloquently mentioned will be addressed in short order. Your impatience and bias are a turnoff just 4 days in. Oh, Texter, man, your desire to shut down conversations that make you uncomfortable is problematic. Let people talk. Let people critique. Let people do the work. Another text, the past prime ministers never respected their deputies, but you would see a difference in this administration. Well, we always look to see a change in the political culture. I am looking forward to it. And here's the important thing to note. Many Bahamians are looking forward to it. They have an open mind. They are waiting to see the best that the PLP have to produce for us. Don't confuse critique with condemnation. We suffer as a nation because we refuse constructive critique. Another text, I agree with you, Ms. Green. Mr. Davis held the position of deputy leader and opposition leader. He doesn't get an automatic handholding now that he's PM. Another text, Aaron Green, you are a very disingenuous person. Ooh, Dwight needs to take the show from you. The PLP just won the election. Stop your unprofessional comments. It's very distasteful. Sparky was right in all he said. Davis could not pick his cabinet before the election results. He had to know who would win. Give him a chance. Stop your foolishness. I politely changed the word that you use. Let's cut this off right here because y'all seem to think that social promotion is the order of the day in governance even. You telling me that the PLP couldn't sit down and consider who is likely to win and who is likely to lose and who will get the spot if they win and who will get the spot if they lose? Y'all are doing the PLP an injustice by suggesting they can do no better than providing 25-cent tuck shop governance. Allow those who can see more to bring more to the table, please. Stop shutting down conversations you don't understand. Stop insulting people who don't believe. I believe that we, the Bahamian people, will succeed with or without the PLP's help. Have a great day, Bahamas. It is 2021. It's time for a new dispensation in this nation. Stay tuned to 96.9 FM, though, and have a great day.